You're listening to the Bay Christian Family Church podcast.
Turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 16. Oh, that's your favorite chapter, huh? Luke chapter 16, verse 10. Praise God. I'm always excited when you all are excited about the Word of God. Luke chapter 16 and verse 10. Like, oh, Luke chapter 16, that's my jam. Ooh, I love that chapter. Well, let's see what it says. He who is faithful, say faithful.
Faithful.
In what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Verse 12. And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? The Passion Translation says this for verse 10. The one who faithfully manages the little he has been given will be promoted and trusted with greater responsibilities. But those who cheat with the little they have been given will not be considered trustworthy to receive more. So notice, faithfulness has nothing to do with quantity. You can be faithful with a little and faithful with a lot. Faithfulness is staying committed to the mission and the mandate of God. Faithfulness is staying committed to the mission and the mandate of God. And as we see here, in order for God to commit more to your hands, we often have to pass the faithfulness test. We want God to trust us with more. We want him to give us more. Then we have to prove ourselves faithful. What if your season of promotion is directly tied to your faithfulness? Faithfulness is a kingdom principle. I think we all can agree with that. But if you're writing notes, typing notes, or you have nothing to write or type with, or don't feel like it, just lock this into long-term memory. God can do a lot of things for us, right? He's provided us with salvation. He's given us the blessing. He's provided us with a lot. He's provided us with his word, with his promises. We got angels that go to work on assignment for us on our behalf. There's protection, there's safety, there's provision, there's healing. Out of all these things God has already done for us, the one thing that God is not going to do for you is he cannot be faithful for you. He's faithful to you. He's faithful to his word, but he will not be faithful for you. That is something that God requires you to do. It says in Psalms chapter 31 and verse 23, for the Lord preserves the faithful. People would ask me all the time, how old is your dad? And I'd tell them the truth. And they say, what? I can't believe it. How does he stay so young? Well, the Lord preserves the faithful. That's how he stays young. If you want to be preserved, if you want your finances to be preserved, if you want your family to be preserved, if you want your other businesses and things to be preserved, it says the Lord preserves the faithful. I want to talk to you this evening on the subject titled, Faithful to the End. Faithful to the End. This concept of faithfulness is what has allowed our ministry to grow. What has allowed my father to be entrusted with more and more and more. I want to show you where we started from. I have some old pictures. Perhaps you can show that. Look at this. Living Word Church. This is a little storefront location, probably smaller than the size of a classroom. And this is where we started. Say humble beginnings.
Humble beginnings.
We started at humble beginnings. And then we moved on and, hold on, go back to the other picture. Hold on. We started there, and I was young, maybe 5, 6 years old. So I didn't know a whole lot about anything, but I knew enough to know that this was a dangerous situation. We were in the worst part of town, the highest crime area in the city of Chicago at that time. I remember stepping over broken beer bottles and it smelling like smoke, and you know, my spider senses went up and I said, this is a dangerous situation. But I never felt in danger because my parents never really seemed concerned because they knew that if God be for us, no one can stand against us. That we are on assignment so the kingdom of God will protect us. Because we're on a diplomatic mission from heaven. So it comes with its own protection in the form of angels. And we were serving, and they were serving. And wouldn't you know it, Dad says this, that one night he was praying and casting out demons. And that night he discovered that demons drive because we came outside after service and one of them demons had drove off with our car. What's going on? Well, did that stop us? No. Did that stop him? No. That would have been a fine time to give up. But yet we didn't. I remember being young, but standing under the heater in the cold of Chicago, where it's negative 10 degrees Celsius, and saying to my mom, Mom, why do we have to do this? It's so cold. What's going on? And Mom saying, this is what God has called us to. And knowing that even though this was the condition now, it won't always be this way. Because faithfulness has benefits. And we were faithful. And once you know it, God made a way. I'll make a long story short. We were able to move out of the hood into a better location. You can go to the next picture. And we moved to a suburb right outside of Chicago. Better location, but higher expenses. And so what do we do now? We got to pay these expenses. Well, wouldn't you know it that after we moved out of Chicago, half of our congregation, which was only probably like 20 people, said, Pastor, we don't feel led to move away from this neighborhood. So we're going to stay here. God bless you. And so now the congregation has been cut in half, but the bills have tripled. What you going to do now? A fine time to give up. But yet, faith does not throw in the towel. Faithful people do not quit. And wouldn't you know it, that God brought more people, even though those others left. We talked about the power of words this morning, and there was a faith declaration that we had, there was a confession that we had, that we would say, and part of that confession actually literally stated that for all of our services, we have people lined up around the block waiting to get into the building for our services. Well, wouldn't you know it that some months later, people started lining up. And lining up further and lining up further to the extent that the other neighbors started getting mad because all the parking spots were taken in the neighborhood. Wow. Look at God being faithful. And then we moved to a different location. And then God was faithful and moved us finally to the mall location. And you can show that video. That right now we own and occupy this 33-acre mall estate. Debt-free. We have businesses that we own. We have businesses that pay us rent as a landlord. We have our sanctuary on the back side of the mall. So you see the picture here and you see the video. Okay, I see the media team. Y'all working. Look at this. Y'all get both angles. Come on, media team. Y'all better get it together. Beautiful. And then now, in the last couple years, God spoke to Dad and said, I want you to start going to major metropolitan cities with the kingdom of God and power and demonstration, closing the wealth gap and bringing the kingdom wherever we go. And so we started on this campaign called Operation 10 Cities. And God started doing some amazing things, and we've been able to bless thousands and thousands of people from different communities. And we've invested $2.5 million just in communities. We've spent well over that, millions and millions of dollars to have the actual campaigns where we'll go and we'll have teaching, we'll have food distribution at multiple sites, we'll have new clothing distribution. When I say new clothing, I mean brand name clothing, new in tags in bags, with tags in bags. And we're going and having expungement seminars to expunge those who have criminal records that have prevented them from getting good jobs. We're going and having job fairs and career fairs. We're teaching people business. We have a business pitch competition that Dr. Dolores, who has gotten a promotion, is now our JBS president. And so Dr. Dolores, she heads up this area where we have a business pitch competition. And so those from the community, they can pitch their business ideas. And we'll be giving cash awards. I mean, upwards of $10,000. And then we'll even match that if they are sponsored by their home church. So we'll give another $10,000 to the church. Come on, say no lack in the kingdom. How did we get to the place that we had $200 when we came to Chicago? And Dad says, nobody knew us, nobody cared. Came to Chicago with $200. Imagine coming to South Africa and you got 1,000 rand. Nobody knew us, nobody cared. How did we get to that place, from that place, to the place of investing millions of dollars in communities? Debt free. We weren't taking out loans. There were no loans here. This was all financed by the kingdom. How did we get there? Luke chapter 19, verse 17 in the English Standard Version. Jesus is telling this parable, and he's telling this parable of the talents. The master gave 5 talents to one, 2 talents to another, 1 talent to another, and the one with 5 came back and had doubled that. And in Luke's version of the story, he says in verse 17, and he said to him, well done, good servant, because you have been faithful in very little. Say faithful.
Faithful.
You shall have authority over 10 cities. And this is what God dropped in Dad's spirit, that he was faithful in very little. Now, being faithful in very little could mean the things that are so small that you don't think matter or are important. But that master was faithful in very little. That very little can represent the things that hold the least significance to us. Being on time. Doing tasks a certain way. Showing up faithfully to volunteer. Say that part again. Showing up faithfully to volunteer. Developing your character, being faithful to sow financial seed, praying for your pastors and your leaders, responding to others in love. These little things that sometimes we feel like, nobody sees us, nobody knows, doesn't really matter. But yet it does matter to God. The things that God has put you over, if God puts you over it, he expects you to be faithful in it. And in the kingdom, we can know this. Write this down. You cannot get promoted in the kingdom of God while circumventing faithfulness. You cannot get promoted in the kingdom of God while circumventing faithfulness. It blesses my heart to see Pastor Joshua following in Dad's footsteps, but more so following in the legacy of faith, because I understand. As a faith child, a product of a household of faith, I know what that feels like. Actually, my first job was a janitor. I was a janitor at the church. Amen. Thank you so much. I was a janitor at the church. And so I was a part of the facility maintenance team, and I would vacuum in the church. I would sweep the halls. I would mop the floors in the bathroom. I was cleaning toilets. So way before I had a mic and a platform, I had a mop and a bucket. And I learned how to take care of God's house, not by all these opportunities to speak on a pulpit, but what I did when nobody else was around. How I took pride in having the house of God clean. And so when people dropped trash, I wasn't too proud to pick it up, even though I was pastor's son. And God was training and instilling something into me, helping me understand that if I am faithful in obscurity, God will promote me publicly. If you are faithful in obscurity, God will promote you publicly. Let's keep going. We got to keep moving. Luke chapter 18, verse 1. Luke 18, verse 1. Where are my faithful people at today? Praise God. That should be all of our hands. Amen. Then he spoke a parable to them that men ought to always pray and not lose heart, saying, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming, she weary me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect, who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? This faith means that we're persuaded, fully persuaded, persuaded or induced to believe. But this original word, pytheo, is also translated faithfulness. When the Son of Man comes, will he really find faithfulness on the earth? Faithful people who haven't given up. They didn't give up on God, and they didn't give up on the mission or assignment that God gave them. So let me ask you a question this evening, Bay Christian Family Church. Does your faithfulness match your faith request? Oftentimes, I know we come to God with our petitions, with our requests, with what we need, and you should continue to do that and put pressure on the covenant. God is able to do it and perform it. But does our faithfulness match our faith request? Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, it talks about the fruits of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness. And what does it say? Faithfulness. I like to call these the characters of Christ, or the characteristics of Christ. Faithfulness is an unchanging and unwavering behavior. It's constant. It's dependable. And this widow in the parable, she got a favorable outcome because she stayed committed to something, even though it was hard. And this faithfulness, it's a God quality. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 13, it says this, even if we are faithless, God remains faithful. So write this down if you're writing notes. We know the scripture says that God will not and cannot tempt with evil. So I like to say that God doesn't tempt with evil, but he tests with faithfulness. God does not tempt with evil, but he tests with faithfulness. Are you passing the faithfulness test? So let's go to Elijah and Elisha. 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 1. And this is how the anointing follows faithfulness. Are you with me tonight? All right, 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 1. I'm going to read out of the NIV. When the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, stay here. The Lord has sent me to Bethel. But Elisha said, as surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you. So they went down to Bethel. The company of the prophets at Bethel came out to Elisha and asked, do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today? Yes, I know, Elisha replied. So be quiet. Then Elijah said to him, stay here, Elisha. The Lord has sent me to Jericho. And he replied, as surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you. So they went to Jericho. Then the company of the prophets at Jericho went up to Elisha and asked him, do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today? Yes, I know, he replied. So be quiet. I think we're starting to see a pattern here. Then Elijah said to him, stay here. The Lord has sent me to the Jordan. And he replied, as surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you. So the two of them walked on. Now 50 men from the company of the prophets went and stood at a distance facing the place where Elijah and Elisha had stopped at the Jordan. Elijah took his cloak, rolled it up, and struck the water with it. The water divided to the right and to the left, and the two of them crossed over on dry ground. Verse 9. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me, what can I do for you before I am taken from you? Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit," Elisha replied. "You have asked a difficult thing," Elijah said. "Yet if you see me when I am taken from you, it will be yours. Otherwise, it will not." As they were walking along and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up to the heaven in a whirlwind. And Elisha saw this and cried out, "My father, my father, the chariots and horsemen of Israel." And Elisha saw him no more. Then he took hold of his garment and tore it in two. Elisha then picked up Elijah's cloak that had fallen from him and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. He took the cloak that had fallen from Elisha and struck the water with it. "Where now is the Lord, the God of Elisha?" he asked. And when he struck the water, it divided to the right and to the left, and he crossed over. This is an excellent example of faithfulness. We see Elisha asking for a double portion of the anointing. Now, this double portion in Jewish traditional culture, this just didn't mean like just two portions, like I'm gonna go back for seconds for food. But what this was signifying was that oftentimes when a father would leave inheritance to his kids, let's say he had five kids, he wouldn't leave an equal portion to each child. He would actually leave two portions to the firstborn son. So he'd leave two portions to the firstborn son, and then the rest would divide the rest. And so a double portion signifies him being a firstborn son. But if you go back and look and read in 1 Kings chapter 19, we see when Elisha, you know, had been anointed, even before that, we see that there was another servant that served Elijah. And this time when he had served Elijah, that servant had a similar scenario happen, to which Elijah said, "Stay here, I'm gonna go do whatever, you know, you just stay here." And that servant said, "Okay, cool. I'm good. My assignment is over." And we didn't hear any more about him in the Bible. But yet, the second son was different. The second spiritual son said, "I'm not going to leave you. I won't leave you no matter what." And Elisha tried to release him three times. And the other prophets were telling him that his master was going to be taken anyways. He's going to be taken today. You don't have to keep serving him. Your job is done. You did a good job. The assignment is over. You can stop. But Elisha showed an uncommon level of dedication. Now, Elisha had already served well. As a matter of fact, back in 1 Kings 19, when they first encounter each other, Elijah throws his cloak over Elisha. And he says that then at that point, he stopped plowing and then started to serve Elijah. And when he threw his mantle over him, that signified that he already had access to that anointing. But yet, it didn't activate in its fullness until he was faithful to the end. And not only did he get access to that anointing, he got a double portion of what was going to be given to him. This was an uncommon level of dedication. But notice, he didn't get the opportunity to make the request until the very end. Elisha said, "Stay here three times." He said, no, I'm gonna continue to serve you. And at the very end of that, he said, "If you see me when I'm taken, if you stay on this line of this character that you've developed and that you're displaying, if you continue to be faithful, then you can have what you have asked for." And because of that, he got what he asked for. See, faithfulness is about going beyond what is expected. See, it wasn't just about a reward. It was about Elisha's dedication to God's first. Serving Elijah was just the way that he could show his dedication to God. It's not about just serving man. It's about serving God. The Bible says the master you are serving is Christ. We're not working as unto men, even though we are submitted to that position. We're submitted to our pastor. And faithfulness, it opens the door. Write this down. Faithfulness opens the door for a divine opportunity. For Elisha, faithfulness opened the door for a divine request. Now, when Elijah first heard it, he said, "You've asked a hard thing." Now, why is it a hard thing? Well, if I have one portion of water, Pastor Danny, you say, "Pastor David, give me two portions of water." Well, I'll say, "Okay, well, I can only give you what I have. Either I have to be given a second portion, or God has to supernaturally multiply this water." And that second thing would definitely be a hard thing, not hard for God, but hard for me. So I can only give you what I have. He said, this is a hard thing because he knew this could only be granted by God. You've asked something that only Yahweh can tap into. Only Jehovah God can grant that request. You've asked something that is supernatural. But he said, if you see me when I am taken, what you have asked will be granted to you. God rewards people who are faithful. I say this in my book, Authentic, and I think we have just a handful of copies left after service if you want to pick up one. It says this: serving always makes you a candidate for promotion. Serving always makes you a candidate for promotion. I know sometimes people are like, well, I'm waiting for God to bring me to the next level. I'm waiting for God to do something. I want to do this. I have aspirations to do this. I want to, you know, change the world for God. I want to have influence for God. If you want to have influence, serve. If you want to have mega influence, be faithful in serving. Because your faithfulness determines the amount of promotion that you have access to. It's faithfulness. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 20 says this: a faithful man will abound with blessing. So there are levels of prominence that you can't get to without being faithful. I believe that in the kingdom, you cannot get promoted without being faithful. And in the midst of serving faithfully, let's say you're serving at church. And, you know, God doesn't expect you to be perfect. You're trying to get it right. Your heart is contrite towards him. But notice, it wasn't about Elisha being perfect. It was just about him being faithful. Let's boil it down to this. All he had to do was keep showing up with the right heart. All he had to do was keep showing up. And the anointing is transferred through that faithfulness. So let me ask you a question. Do you pass the keep showing up test? Or when things get hard, do you throw in the towel? I'm looking at some faithful people who won't throw in the towel. No matter how hard it gets, no matter how difficult things may be, but you're going to walk by faith and not by sight. You're going to be faithful to the end, to the thing that God has called you to. Because if God hasn't released you from it, then he continues to expect you to be faithful in it. God, I want to move from this job. God, I want to do this. I want to do that. You know, something that really concerns me is, especially with my young generation, all of this church movement, right? Right, Apostle Allen? All of this church movement. Go here and go here. And 2 years later, you're here. 3 years later, you're there. Now, I want you to be planted in the right church. And praise God, you're planted in a good church right here. You're planted in the right place. But as long as you take a seed that's buried in the ground, keep digging it up, and then keep reburying it in a different place in the ground, and then keep digging it up and keep reburying it in a different place in the ground, it cannot grow properly. God uses faithfulness and faithfulness tests to grow your character and dependency on Him. How deep do you want to go in God? I want to go to the level where I feel my flesh dying. Because the more my flesh gets sacrificed, the more I can do for God. The more I can be used by God. The more I can be like Jesus, who said, "My Father and I are one. There is no wicked way in me." That's what I want to be like. So God uses this faithfulness to purify our hearts. Now you can show your faithfulness, I believe, through three main things: your time, your talent, and your trust. Your time, your talent, and your trust. How faithful are you at managing your time? And I'm just not just talking about blanket time management, but what do you make a priority to you? Is your priority God's priority? Your talent. Let me ask you a question. Do you honor your gift with hard work and dedication? See, that ability that God has given you, that's His gift to you. But the way you give it back to Him and honor Him is what you do with that gift. How you use that gift. How you steward that gift. How you submit that gift to church leadership without trying to get paid. Oh, we can sow our gift. Praise God. That's a good thing. Some of y'all looking at me like, I ain't trying to sow my gift. While you may not be able to control the talents and abilities that God has given you, you can always control your willingness to be faithful. You may not be able to control the talents and abilities, but you can control your level of faithfulness. And finally, trust. How much are you going to trust God? You're going to trust His plan for your life. You're going to trust His word. You're going to take Him at your word. And often how we use our money can be a sign of trusting God. Are we faithful with the finances that God has given us to do what God has called us to do? Now, I like to do illustrations. I talked to you about that this morning. So I got this brick. I said, you can get any brick. Doesn't have to be fancy. You can find it on the side of the road for all I care. This brick is one of the oldest building materials in the world. They say bricks were used even 6,000 years ago. And these bricks are made of clay. And this clay is heated in a kiln and very hot. And once it gets so hot, the density changes. The chemical properties of that clay change into what we have as a brick, something extremely durable. It's heat resistant. It can stand the test of time. That's why they use bricks to build things that they want to last. And I think bricks are an excellent illustration of faithfulness. Because as we're going through the faithfulness test, it's hardening us. It's making us strong and durable. And as we're strong and durable like these bricks, then what God does is He takes us and He uses us to build something. Brick by brick by brick by brick. He uses us to build the local church, brick by brick by brick. He uses us to build the kingdom of God, brick by brick by brick. He uses us in this area of South Africa, brick by brick by brick. And when we're faithful, God can use us in the way He originally intended to set up His kingdom here on the earth. Faithfulness is not an option. It's a requirement for His kingdom to come and His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God is using us to build something that will last. Come on, put your hands together for that. Hallelujah. Amen. So let's start to bring this to a close here. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, it says this. And let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season, say due season. Tell your neighbor, say due season. We shall reap if we do not lose heart. Now, due season sounds good, but it feels kind of ambiguous. What is this due season? I know we talk about all the time in church world. Oh, it's my season. It's my season. It's my due season. Well, it sounds good, right? It's good preaching material. It's my season, baby. Yes. But due season actually means in the original translation, the right or favorable moment. The right or favorable moment. See, God is not holding out on you. He's holding it for you. For the right moment where it will exponentially hit. It will have the greatest impact. You say, I got this gift and I need to expose it to the world. God wants you to. But God is refining you so your gift is more palatable to those who it's supposed to be serving. You can serve 10 or you can serve 10,000. Serve 10 now or 10,000 later. See, God is reserving you to have the greatest impact to show forth his kingdom. And that's good news. And I believe that faithfulness helps us to get acclimated to God's due season, to his right and favorable moment. And I know often, also, you know, in Christianity, especially in Western Christianity, I feel like we've almost, you know, and I'm thinking about faithfulness, I was thinking about the disciples, I was like, you know, I feel like we've almost like romanticized and over-romanticized the word calling. Now, I believe in calling. I believe that we're all born for a purpose. God has an assignment for us. I write about it in my book. I believe it. I preach about it. But you know what? The Holy Spirit started to convict me because I said, you know, maybe we've glorified it to the point that it was not really intended or meant to be glorified. And what if instead of trying to obsess about specific calling, what's my calling? What's my calling? And specific purpose, what if we just made the goal being faithful in wherever God has us right now? What if we made the goal just being faithful in our job? Just being faithful at volunteering at our church? Just being faithful as a good godly parent? Just being faithful as a good godly spouse? Just being faithful with your finances, faithful with your body, faithful with your health, faithful with your daily devotions, faithful with the business or organization that God has called you to start, being faithful in any area that God had currently placed you in. Because when I look at the 12 apostles and the 12 disciples, they didn't obsess about individual calling. They were just consumed with one thing, one mission, the call. To preach the gospel to every nation, to make disciples in every nation, to go into all the world and preach the gospel, to proclaim and lift up the name of Jesus Christ, to turn this world upside down. They were not consumed with how many people are looking at me, how many followers can I get, how much notoriety can I get, how many speaking engagements can I get, how much can I get for me, how much can I increase? What are they going to pay me for this book deal? I'm trying to get my album out. They were not consumed with any of that. They were consumed with one thing, praising and lifting up the name of Jesus, converting people to the kingdom of God. Peter did not preach his first message because he knew a bunch of people there were going to start following him on TikTok. He got 3,000 saved and was just as consumed with the mission as he was before he preached that first sermon. He didn't stop there. He didn't even stop and say, this is good. Let me sit right down here and I'll build my church. I gotta make a church already. Let me build up a platform here so people can honor and serve me. No, Jesus, he left a lasting example for them at the Last Supper. They're eating, they're finally finished with their Nando's, and then he gets up from the table, he puts his cloak aside, takes the water, and starts washing their feet. And Peter's like, what are you doing, Jesus? Hold on, we should be washing your feet. And he says, This is a lasting example for you. This might be the last illustrative message I show you. Because if I do not wash your feet, you will have no place in me. And he said, well, wash my hands, wash my head, wash my ears. And he said, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. He came to serve. He didn't come to be known and followed because he had some deficiency about his significance. He was not trying to affirm his value by the followers he had. He was trying to manifest and set up God's kingdom in the earth. And he knew he needed people to do it. And you know how I know that he wasn't wed to having followers? He wasn't married to it. He wasn't searching and looking after it. He wasn't consumed with it in his heart. We know that the Word of God says that he was sinless, but this is how I know. He could have stayed on this earth for 30 years and had great ministry, had one of the most impactful ministries, beside what he already did. He already had the most impactful ministry, but he could have had something that transcended anything we've ever seen. Got a million people in his church. The Son of God. He could have set up camp for 30 years, but instead, he preached for 3 and then left. He did not fall in love with the following. I hope you're hearing me tonight. I feel like I'm preaching to somebody. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 3 through 4 in the NIV. And we're winding this to a close. The Bible says, let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. And I know what you're saying, but Pastor David, I've served faithfully for so long. I don't deserve to be frustrated like this. Well, I think Jesus is acquainted with that level of sacrifice. Because faithfulness is a sacrifice. Jesus shows us the ultimate display of faithfulness. In Luke chapter 22 and verse 42, after the Last Supper, he says, Peter, James, and John, come on, go with me. Go with me to the Garden of Gethsemane. Help me out. Encourage me. Pray with me. They couldn't even stay awake. They kept falling asleep. And Jesus says this, Father, if it is your will, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Then the angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. Jesus shows us the ultimate display of faithfulness. He helps us understand that faithfulness and sacrifice are connected to each other. That you can't build a mega ministry like this and a mega church like this that has so much influence without a lot of sacrifice. I honor men and women of God who have served in church for many years. I honor you if you've stood the test of time and you've been serving here for many years all across the campuses. Now, maybe you just got here and you're new here, and that's fine too. But I believe that God requires faithfulness for all of us because this comes at a cost. You saw that mall, and that mall building looks nice. And Dad always says, you know, people see me now with the mall. Businesses fly around in a private jet. We own and operate a corporate private jet, a Gulfstream 4. It's debt-free, paid for. Got enough money to pay for fuel and pilots, and it doesn't hurt the pocket. That's a blessing, right? They say, people want that. They want what I've got, but they don't want to do what I've did. They want the results of faith, but they don't want what faithfulness had to do. The faithfulness that was required. And I honor you if you're sitting here today and you've been proving yourself faithful. Even when it's gotten hard, you decided not to give up and throw in the towel. Maybe marriage got hard and you decided not to throw up and give in the towel. Maybe things at home got hard. Maybe things financially got hard, but you said, no, God said so, so I'm going to keep sowing. And you've decided to sacrifice. You've laid it all on the line. I believe a lot of times that connects us more with Jesus more than we know. That he was faithful to the end. to lay it all on the line so that we can know God in an intimate way. Last scripture, Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. In verse 14 in the New Living Translation, it says this: "For if we are faithful to the end," say faithful to the end. If we are faithful to the end, trusting God just as firmly as when we first believed, we will share in all that belongs to Christ. If we are faithful to the end. I believe that God is looking for faithful people. And he's found a lot of them right here in this church. But I'm here to encourage somebody. I felt this in my spirit, especially as we were just worshiping God earlier, that there's some in here who've been thinking about giving up, throwing in the towel, giving up on what God has said to you, the promise he's made to you, or the mandate and mission he's given you, and thinking about calling it quits. I don't know what that means for you. I don't know if that means leaving church or laying down a position or maybe even doing something as far as separating in your marriage. I don't know what that means for you, but I do know God says this: be faithful to the end. Don't throw in the towel. Don't give up. Don't stop pushing. Don't stop striving. Don't stop allowing God to be manifested through your sacrifice. I believe that God, he's not only calling us to faithfulness, but he wants to show forth his glory through that faithfulness.